right when we started coming to the church, and Megan needed to take some time down, and Charles is like, oh, my wife will do it, my wife will do it, and I looked at him like, I might do it, but that would be my choice. So I don't know why when I think about my journey in children's ministry, I always think of that day, and Jim was like, cool, and Charles and Jim, man, they had me signed up. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I would of course do it because I love children, and it's my life has always been working with children, but that's how it started, and it's just been such a blessing. Jonathan, are you over there?
Yeah, he's over there.
I love you, Jonathan.
Oh.
Teaching Jonathan when he was, I think, in second grade, and he wouldn't take his sunglasses off.
And can I just interject that the reason why Casey had to teach is because we lost three other teachers for that particular class. They wouldn't stay. Yeah. They wouldn't stay. I mean, I'm not saying it was all Jonathan.
Yeah. So I said, okay, and I put my sunglasses on, and so we just taught the class and talked about Jesus with our sunglasses on, and, you know, the memories go on and on from kids throwing up inside my shoe to...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a good one.
That
was a good day.
That was a good one. And Amy, it happened to Amy, too. Where's Amy?
Yeah. Amy, you got thrown up on, too.
Yeah.
So, this is like a commercial for working in children's ministry, by the way. They're all like, why do I sign up?
Yeah,
that sounds
you should
awesome.
Come do what we do. It's so much fun. you know, the memories go on and on, serving with like-minded people, getting to know the parents, and watching sweet little hearts grow up and love Jesus is just, it has ministered to me and been more of a blessing to me than anything I could ever have imagined. And it will never go away. I mean, we're moving out of state, but my heart will always, always be right here.
Well, we love you. I love you personally.
You.
I mean, we've done Bible study
too.
Together. We've done children's ministry together. And you...
I love Bible study.
Yeah, Bible study rocks, by the way. Just a little FYI. But we've had a great time. And we have actually something special that we would like to share with you today. Because you know what? We want to love the Love family. So I hope you guys will enjoy some memories as we walk down memory lane.
Thank you.
But
you're doing much.
Well, that was just our little walk down memory lane. I hope you guys got a glimpse of how special the Love family has been to us. I know. And we hope that this would be a place where you could find friends, especially if you're new with us, because you can make really good friends here. Casey and I did not start out as best friends. It took us a while, but serving together and loving each other's children helped us. So do you think Jim planned Jesus Serves with a Hurt Heart? Do you think he planned that for us today? I think this is just a word just for us. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us, and thank you that you gave us a love family. And I pray, Lord, that today your word would speak to all of us. And thank you for Jim, who created or who you used to create a place where your word could be taught that would attract beautiful and amazing families like the Loves and like everyone who's here today. So I just pray, Lord, you bless our day. And we pray in Jesus' name.
It is just awesome to see pictures like that and know you can have your family be raised in a place like this. How incredible. Thanks for putting that together. We're taking up all Jim's time today. We got a song for you. And one of the greatest things about being on the worship team is sometimes you can just let the song that you're working on kind of guide your prayer life for that week. So this week we got this very cool song by Chris Tomlin. A lot of you might know it. It's called Awake My Soul. But it's based on the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, which is probably a chapter a lot of you probably don't read that often. But if you want to, how the Bible can be put into, you know, just pictures that are so incredible. If you are inspired today or sometimes we take a look at that chapter, it's unbelievable. And if you know the song, you're welcome to join us because we'll be singing it in the future anyway.
Breathe on me, breathe on me, breathe on me.
Well, did not know we were having a rapper here today. Did not know Sandra was married to a rapper. Did not know. If we're going to sing that song, I'm wondering who's going to do the rap part each week. A different guest rapper from Bay City? Very cool. Very cool. You know, other than people finding Christ, which is the primary reason why we exist, if there's any way we can assist somebody to come into a place where they believe in Christ and hand over the care and control of his, the care and control of their life to him, I think the thing I'm the proudest of and that brings me the most joy in my life in church is when people become friends, when they meet here. You know, I just, you know, the buttons burst, and I guess that's what the bustle. But I just love when you meet somebody and they become a friend, maybe not a best friend, but a lifelong friend. And, I, you know, it's never because of me, but it's because of us. And it just brings me quiet joy. I don't usually have the opportunity to say it, but I believe that Megan met Casey here. So it's my fault. Yes. Ah. No, I'm kidding. But just kidding. But it just brings me great joy. Because to have friends that really love Jesus, that want to walk with him, that want to know him, are such an integral part of you living the life. So enough chatter before the message today. But there is a barbecue here right after service, the second service. They'll be cooking during the second service, and no touchy tasties during the second service. But as you know, they're moving to Austin this week, and so we're going to celebrate her a little bit more than we did today, and it'll be really fun. So today's theme: Jesus serves with a hurt heart. And there's a big point here, and I'm not going to give it away now, but it touched my life, and it motivated my life, and I think you'll see the sense of it as we work through things. The mother of four young boys often had difficulty curbing their energy, especially in church. You know, if you got boys, I didn't have boys, I had girls, and they just sat there with little dresses on, and their hair was done and all that, but boys are a different deal. But when her minister preached on turning the other cheek, the boys gave him their undivided attention, listened to every word that he said. No matter what others do to us, he said, we should never try to get even. That afternoon, the youngest boy came into the house crying. Between sobs, he said he kicked one of his brothers, who then kicked him in return. I'm sorry you're hurt, his mother said, but you shouldn't go around kicking people. You need to learn your lesson. Still choking back tears, he replied, but the preacher said he isn't supposed to kick me back. If you get that later while I'm praying, just hush your laughter, okay? Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for what you do in this place and our lives being connected to you. But thank you also what you do in terms of friendship and how we can minister to one another and serve one another and love one another and know one another. And thank you for what that brings into our life and the life of our children. Lord, may you touch our hearts today. We invite you into our life, into our church, into our families, into our marriages. We want you to guide us and lead us. We want you to be the determiner of our futures. As we listen to you, may you guard and guide each step of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus here, you're going to find today, is thinking about people. He always does, but we'll find it in a unique way today. So let's just jump in. We don't have a lot of time to mess around and talk about what it means to follow Jesus. We'll do that another time. Number one, although we do it the whole time, but you know what I mean. First off, Jesus hears that JB's been beheaded. John the Baptist, if you weren't here last week. Please understand, the Bible teaches clearly that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And if you're trying to fit that together in your mind, you can't. You can just trust it because of what the Bible says. You don't understand that. Nobody does. But the Bible is very clear about that. At the very same time, he was 100% God and 100% man. So he experienced everything we do, physically, emotionally. He experienced hunger and thirst. He experienced being exhausted. He experienced pain and hurt. He was affected by his emotions just as we are, just as you saw Megan end up a crying mess of a girl up here because of her love. She's not in the room, is she? Oh, she's right here. But because of her love for Casey. So what would happen to you if your best friend, you just heard that they were beheaded? Think about it. If someone you loved died in a tragic accident last night, if someone you loved was taken by cancer? What's going to happen to you? That's what Jesus, 100% man, was facing this day. What are we talking about? Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard, someone told him what had happened, that his friend and part mentor, the one who baptized him, an honored godly man in a public way, had been killed and had been killed brutally. The Bible says he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Mark tells us in this story that he went with his disciples. Matthew doesn't highlight that. And he went to be alone. Wow. Is that where he went? He went to be alone, to mourn the loss of his friends, like any of us would do, we would imagine. His heart was hurt, the 100% man part of him, based on what he'd heard. And we all play it out, whatever happened. We imagine ourselves in the situation, whatever it might be. It's part of humanity. It's part of what we do. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. So they heard he got into a boat, and he was headed out. And so they walked around the city. And I love this part of the story. It's a small thing, but they followed him after he left. They chased after him. And I ask the question when I read this stuff, Jim, are you chasing after Jesus? Are you just waiting for him to arrive and kind of whenever you can visit with him, whenever you can think about him, whenever you can ponder him, and somebody brings him up, oh, cool. Or am I chasing after him in my heart, in my life, in wanting him to lead, in wanting him to guide? Do I want him to be ever present with me? These folks just wanted to be with him. They were amazed by him. They were blown away by him. Even after the John the Baptist incident, they were chasing after him. Well, what does Jesus do before he gets all his alone time, like we like to call it, or whatever you call it? Number two, Jesus serves and loves a big crowd. This is Jesus thinking about people. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 14, 14. When Jesus landed, he came ashore. Remember, he wanted to go to a solitary place. This is his solitary place. He landed and saw a large crowd. Remember, he wanted solitude. He was exhausted physically. He was exhausted emotionally. The crowd is large, and it probably built throughout the day. Later, this crowd would number beyond 20,000, and we'll defend that later. Staples holds between 19 and 20,000 for a basketball game. So just think in terms of size. This is the large crowd they're talking about. We're not talking about 500 people. We're talking about thousands. The Bible says as he got off the boat and as he saw this large crowd, he had compassion on them. Now, instead of slipping away, and he had every excuse in the world to leave, to go take care of himself, to get solid, to find his comfort place, to lick his wounds, he ignored his own pain and his own exhaustion and moved towards them with his heart. And this is one of those things in life, either learn or you don't. Life is either all about you or it's about what you can do for him. There's not really a third option. And it's a battle. Listen, there's a lot of stuff clamoring for our attention, for our emotions. I get that. To have compassion is to feel deeply, to be deeply moved by the needs and suffering of others. And that's what happened to him. He placed his needs aside and said, it's not about me. Jesus felt pain, his own pain and the pain of others. And it moved him forward. And there's a great message here if you want to grab onto it. Your life does not have to be about you, or you can make your life about you. You get the choice. And if you're looking to others to be motivated in the right way, forget about it. You make a decision for you. Who are you? What defines you? What is your life about? And you begin to move forward. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. So those who made the special effort to come over to follow him, he healed them. So Jesus here, I proclaim today, he served with a hurt heart. And so I asked the question, what happens to me? What happens to you? What happens to people when our heart gets hurt, truthfully? What do we want to do? We want to get well. We want to get back on the road again. We get knocked off the horse. We want to get back on. Oftentimes what we do is we become quiet. We become less engaged. We step away from things. Isn't that the natural tendency? You just kind of move away. You don't want any pressure anymore. You don't want to have to perform in any way. Oftentimes people end up mildly depressed and they become reclusive because real hurt has come. Real stuff has happened. I'm not denying it. This is not what Jesus does. This is not what he does. He's willing to serve and love even with a hurt heart. Even with a hurt heart. During this long day of ministering to other folks, healing the sick, whoever was among them, and the story was being told about what he'd been doing out and about, and you got to believe that anybody that had anything beyond stitches on their arm was coming to Jesus to be healed. I certainly would. The third thought here today are the disciples try to solve a problem. The disciples try to solve a problem. In verse 15, as evening approached, so you got this long day where he really wanted to be in a solitary place, truth be told, and we have a real problem. We have a serious problem here that is confronting Jesus and his men. Pick it up in verse 15. As evening approached, Jewish culture, by the way, had two evenings. I just learned this week. I didn't know it before, but I thought I'd tell you. It doesn't mean a thing to us, but it sounds like we're really bright when we know this. Because I just read it. I mean, I didn't figure it out. I don't remember this from history in college, all right? But one was from 3 to 6, and it was like an early evening, and one was from 6 to 9. This is the first. This is prior to sunset. Evening is approaching, one commentator wrote. I thought it sounded really cool, so we just heard it. The disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. In other words, we're far from a town, any town. There's no supplies, and it's already getting late. They knew what they were talking about. We're in trouble here, they're saying to Jesus, who's the leader of the band, obviously, as it relates to time. We've got a dilemma, and we have a problem, and we don't have a solution. So their solution, the disciples, are send them away. But we got to disperse this crowd, Jesus. You got to do some crowd control. You got to do your Jesus thing, and you got to send them back home. Tell them to go back where they came from. Tell them to go home. Because there's like upwards to 20,000 beyond people here. There's a stunning display of humanity in that time. So they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Let them go and take care of themselves. So this issue came out. We have a food problem. There's a lot of mouths. They've been here all day in the sun. Beautiful day, maybe. And we learn a little of the backstory from the book of John and the book of Luke. Earlier in the day, Jesus had brought up the food issue with Philip in the book of John, if you read this story, asking, where are we going to get food? This is somewhere in the middle of the day. He knew what problem was coming. Remember, he's 100% God as well as man. Knowing what the outcome would be, Jesus was testing Philip, the Bible teaches, to see what he would do and how he would respond to the dilemma or the problem. What his plan would be to see if he would trust him. And Philip answered, look, Jesus, 200 denarii, I guess that's all they had, isn't going to get the job done. We can't feed 20,000 people. We can't feed Staples with 200 denarii. You see, the only answer they had is what they could do. Is what they could do. We also learned from John that the disciple Andrew was in the crowd and he found a boy. And this little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know the story. Come on up, Noah. You know the story. That he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I don't know if there was just one kid with some food, but hey, Noah, how you doing, buddy? Good job, man. Can you give me a handshake? Thanks. But you are now a Bible character. Congratulations. Give Noah a hand, will you? So I'm looking to see if any of the sound men took my illustration. This is like bread that was made last night. So I had 5 loaves, right? That's a lot of bread for one guy. I mean, especially in our gluten-free world. So I don't mean to knock it or mock it. If you eat less wheat, you will be skinnier and look really good, all right? I got it. I agree. So we got 5 loaves. That's a lot of bread. But not for staples. It's not going to do it. And then 2 fish. Of course, we had to have some fish, okay? Some fish. This is a lot. It's not a little bit, okay? It's not. It really is. It's a lot of food. Matter of fact, we're going to eat all this at the barbecue. Where I'm going to feed 150 today. Not me personally, but this is what we got. 20,000 people. And that's what the Bible teaches. So, you know, I don't want to fault the guys. I really don't. But we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The next thing that happens in number 4 is Jesus challenges the disciples to think. And this is one of the things, if you want to grow spiritually, this is one of the disciplines you got to learn. Don't just listen to what guys like me say. Listen to us, certainly. Give us an audience to bring forth truth, to challenge your life, the way you live, what you love. Let us confront you biblically, not personally. But more than that, learn how to think critically when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to the life of Jesus. Don't just leave it lay there. You're going to have your doubts. We're human. He understands that. He built us. We're not going to have all the answers, yet we can trust anyway. He understands that. And when we do, what we do is we say, I love you. I don't get it, Jesus. We're saying, I love you when we don't get it, yet we respond to him and follow him. What are we talking about? He challenges the disciples to think. In verse 16, Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, Jesus comes at the guys here. And if you let Jesus, he will come at you. And he will come at your life over and over again through Scripture. He will let you know you need to be uncomfortable when it comes to me because you're not supposed to be doing this. You're not supposed to have that attitude. When you trust me, your life will have more peace. You will have more joy. When you fall in love with me, your life will be different than if you're not in love with me. The world says, love me a million different ways. Jesus says, look, I want all of you, not half of you. That's bold. And he comes at the guys here today. He's challenging them. He asks them to do the impossible. That's what he's asking them. He's trying to make them think critically in their brain. What are we going to do? It's as if he's asking them, what's your options? What can you do? What's your last resort, guys? We got to feed them. There are people. And there's 20,000 of them, and this is all we have. What are we going to do? And the disciples answered his request. Verse 17. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. This is what we got. We can't do it. What are you talking about, Jesus? Don't send them away. That's our only option. We're in trouble here. We've got no other option. And they didn't get the point. And I'm hoping you already got the point of the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000. And it was really about his disciples, not the 5,000. They'd already had their physical infirmities healed. They'd already been loved by Jesus throughout the day. They got his autograph, whatever was going on then, okay? He'd been with them all day long. Yes, exhausted. He was serving with a hurt heart, but boy, was he serving. It was because of who he is. They didn't get the point that you only have one option, guys, in truth. Why don't you ask me? Why don't you come to me for help? Have you not seen what I've done? You see, they weren't thinking right. Their thinking was askew. If it was to be, it was up to them. That's not true. And he was there physically. They wanted to take care of things on their own. Oh, be a stand-up guy, bootstrap guy, man. I can get it done. They were only depending on themselves. They wanted to solve the problem, now listen to me, without needing Jesus. They wanted to solve the problem without considering his power. And the truth is, and I think you know it, that we in our life can and often do the very same thing. We can leave Jesus out of something, anything. We can leave Jesus out of everything. Because we're pretty capable people. We're educated. Most of us are hardworking. We know how to get a job done. I know how to take it from here to here. But they were faced with something that was, it didn't make sense. It was impossible. It wasn't going to work out humanly. The lesson to learn here, if you're willing to learn and willing to listen and willing to think, is keep him in the loop. Maybe even let him lead the loop. Don't make him work so hard to get involved in your life, in your marriage, in your decision making. Just invite him in. I know he knows we're going to miss some things along the way. But oh, please welcome him in. Then he comes through, number 5 there in your notes. Jesus meets the needs of the people, which of course is no surprise to us. The outcome highlights the concern of Jesus for people. Just having a meal. They weren't going to die if they didn't have this meal. You don't starve in a day. There was plenty of water. They were looking at the Sea of Galilee, okay? They weren't going to die. But they had some needs in their life. The highlights of the outcome tell us that he cares about me just as he cares about you. And that people are what matter. Verse 18, Jesus says, following the discussion with his guys, he says, bring them to me. And there is a bit of sternness and leadership we sense here in the term, in the tone. Bring them to me. And he's a little verklempt. He's a little frustrated. And what he's talking about are the fish and the loaves. Not the people. The people are out there. You don't bring 20,000 people to somebody. He said, bring this stuff to me, boys, that Andrew found with this kid. We'll call him Noah today. All right. And he says this with sadness in his eyes, a little frustration, but he grabbed the teaching moment as he often does. And this is where you want to learn to think and think critically. Look for teaching moments for Jesus and you in your life. Don't fight him off. Don't call him coincidences. Work with him. Welcome him. We should be careful not to miss what happens here. Bring them to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass to make them comfortable, to make them relax, because a crowd standing up isn't as comfortable as a crowd sitting down. And another gospel tells us he broke them into groups of 100 to make it more organized. We ought to be as organized as we need to, but form should never run function. It's a whole story another day. We don't have time because much of my time was taken this morning by the music team and me. I'm just kidding. It was fun. People had no clue what he was doing, Jesus. You know, oftentimes you're going to have no clue what Jesus is doing in your life. Absolutely no clue. Trust him anyway. He doesn't have to lay out the course of the next 5 years of your life for you to trust him. Who cares? Because we got eternity covered. Now imagine, just for fun here in the story, what's going on in the minds of the 20,000 people sitting out and about? Hungry? Worn out? Maybe a little sunburn? I don't know. All day long. What's he going to do? There's probably some talk. I mean, a lot of people have been healed. Did you hear what he did in Capernaum? I'm hungry. You hungry? I'm hungry. Backpack's empty. Verse 19 goes on. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. Interesting how Jesus is constantly teaching us what we ought to do in terms of being grateful. All this before doing the public miracle. He gave thanks. He thanked his Father in heaven. This is part of why we do the same today before meals. We thank God. It's minor, but it's daily. It's regular. It's daily recognition of God in our lives. Like they were to thank him for the manna in the wilderness each and every day. And not save enough manna for the next 2 or 3 days, but to trust him every day of their life. And he broke the loaves. He started dividing things up. Right in front of the guys, right in front of the disciples. And I really believe this story is all about them, not the 20,000 people on the hill. So really, the truth is, it's all about us that want to be his disciples. It's not about getting fed. It's not about the radical, incredible, unbelievable miracle. Although it always is. Only Jesus can do this. Then he gave them the fish and the bread. that he had broke and thanked God for it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Now, this miracle happened in a continuous way. This is a really unique, overwhelming miracle in my mind, not that everyone isn't, but the food multiplied while the disciples handed it out. You know that commercial, some of you know, where the guy brings home the bacon and the truck backs up and all the bacon? I wonder if that was real bacon, but I never want to waste that much good bacon, but all the bacon comes out. Maybe you don't watch TV, so you guys are so cool, you don't know what I'm talking about. It didn't happen like that because the disciples couldn't have carried out all the bacon, I mean the bread and the fish. They couldn't have carried, it wouldn't have made sense. So it was a slow-moving miracle, if you will, that went on for hours. There was 12 baskets full of fish and bread from this. And it kept on reappearing inside in some beautiful way. Amazing way. The miracle was invisible. Except that everybody ate. Nobody really saw it happening. It just kept coming. Slowly, what was necessary. Thousands of people. Did somebody just light some incense in here? The barbecue. Get somebody smoking pot at church. Good. Wonderful. We want you to get saved. All right? Okay. Did I just go too dark for you? Sorry. I have told you over and over again, if you knew my past, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor, all right? I've told you that. So when people stick around here, don't get mad at me, all right? All right. It's just so true. Jesus is teaching his disciples the truth of Philippians 4, where, and my God will meet most of your needs, right? The Bible's really, oh, I'm sorry, my eyes are going. He'll meet all of your needs. We either believe this or we don't, according to the riches and glory of Christ. The message is loud and clear. I'll come through for you. That's what Jesus says. I'll come through for you. Trust me, and you won't be sorry. This is a lifelong pursuit for those of us who love him. Number six and last, the excellent result in this case, 5,000 people satisfied, actually 20,000, but I gave you 5,000 because it's in the text. When Jesus is involved, things happen is the message here. His men still don't fully get it. They're still stunned. It's interesting watching these boys grow through being physically with Jesus. And they frustrate us sometimes because they ought to get more. But I wonder if we do. I wonder if we're like the disciples and we've heard all the good stuff. We've moved through the stories. We've read them. We've heard them preached. But do we grab on to the nuggets of truth and put them in our own practical real lives? Do we live in such a way that Jesus has our attention all day long? Or is it a weekly event? Do we live in such a way that we expect him to come through for us? Maybe not in the way we want, but we've entrusted our life to his care and control, the eternity of our life. Can we not give him today? Can we not give him today? Look at Matthew 14, 20. Then they all ate and were satisfied, physically content. No need of any additional food. Had all they wanted. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. This was divinely created food from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Generated from those by God. Verse 21, the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. That's where we get the 20K number. The men numbered 5,000. And we assume with a couple of kids, 2.5, whatever they were into at that point, would have been about 20,000, upwards to 25,000. People had to be stunned yet happy. They were prepared to go hungry. And I don't think they were afraid of it. And again, they wouldn't have died. And they ended up satisfied. This is what you'll find with Jesus. You don't mind a little sacrifice. If you're over 50, you've sacrificed plenty in your life. Well, if you're over 20, I don't want to. Life demands sacrifice. Sometimes the biscuits get burned, right? Not everybody knows what I'm talking about. Don't you like that little intrigue? Now, don't look at the back of the bulletin now. I just really messed it up. Give me 5 more minutes or so. But this is a stunning display of the provision of Jesus to the people and to his men. This is beautiful. And if you want to know Jesus, if you want to have him close, if you want him to be your friend, you got to begin to understand the principles here that he'll come through for you. That your life will be just the way it ought to be if you surrender and submit your life to him in daily living. We're going to just ignore the next two verses because time goes on. Let's go to what do we learn? A couple quick things. Number one, first of all, Jesus understands heartache. And I like this. I think it's part of why he became a man. He lived it and experienced it personally. When we hurt, he gets it. Now, God created us, so he would understand anyway. But there's some sense of connection in that he really became 100% man. That when I hurt, he understands it. Because sometimes I don't even understand it. Hurt is kind of mind-altering to us in our life. We don't just want to be... I don't want to be a guy that doesn't feel... It's so tempting as you get older to just get cynical about everything. And so many people have. And I don't want to be that. I want to live. I want to be alive. I want to feel. And sometimes when you want to live that way, you hurt. Things hurt. But please learn that you can serve, even if everything's not good. That you can serve if there's pain in your life. Don't wait for that pain to be removed for you to serve. Please learn that you can serve even if you have challenges. One man said, if you're lonely, go serve somebody. If you're really lonely, double your efforts of serving. So many people go to the bottle. And I'm not against or opposed to drugs when necessary and medically given by professionals. I'm not opposed to it. But service towards other people, it's what you're built for. And when you begin to serve somebody and love somebody, whether they're grateful or not, it feels good in you. And it can be the littlest of posts. It doesn't have to be a big known thing. A second thing is Jesus cares deeply for people. We know that. We learn that over and over. He loves you. You can count on it. Refuse to ever doubt it. Just say no. Just don't ever believe that he doesn't love you. If you're a follower of him, if you're connected to him by faith and desire, not just by faith, but desire. I want him in my life. I want him to lead me. I want to follow him. I want to be connected to the divine, to the vine. If you want to be that guy or gal, you need to care deeply for other people. You have no option. Let's watch this. This is the wrong one. This is the second time that this same one has been blown. Do the worthless one. It's your fault. Nothing's your fault.
Jesus Fan Club mug, $13. Testament, 50 cents. WWJD, $4. Trinity Tea, $15. Perfectly placed Ictus on your car, $7.
I told you, I want you to think. I want you to think. Can you turn the lights on, dude? Otherwise, I can't see my notes, and you do not want to listen to me without my notes. We would all get in trouble real quick. Number three, Jesus solves problems different than us. Now, again, you know this. I'm just reminding you today. We should try to never go it alone. Never go it alone. We should learn to need him and let this story teach you that. We should never use him as a last option. That's what they did. I don't want to do that. I want him to be my first option. When we face challenges or a crisis of any kind or any kind of loss, and boy do we in life, go to him, run to him. Number four and last, conclude in your life that Jesus can satisfy like nothing else. And this is one of those things that you got to train yourself because the world really does bring satisfaction. We bring it to each other in momentary ways. In beautiful ways when we love one another and serve one another in a whole multitude of ways. But the reality is this is true, that Jesus can satisfy like nothing else. He is our answer for the future and he's our answer for the present. That's the truth. And when you conclude that and you live with that in mind, when Jesus becomes more important than anything, your life changes. Something changes. You're less demanding You're more satisfied. You're more loving. You're more forgiving. You're more accepting of others and less judgmental. And if Jesus is in charge, the peace and the joy level just explodes like you could never bring it on yourself. And we'll close with this. Romans chapter 8. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together, that we can try to listen to you, that we can try in every way we can to invite you into our life, not just for salvation, but for your leadership, for your love, for your friendship. And we want to be that. We want to look at the stories in the Bible that are just so remarkable, so overwhelming, so beyond us. And we want to just worship you. We want to submit our lives to you. We want to live thankful to you. And God, thank you for the loves and those of us that know them best, the loss that we feel most certainly, but the excitement for them as well. May you bless them greatly. And may you bless us as we move ahead in each of our lives to be in love with you above all other things. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day.
Good work there, Rob.
No, I don't think so. I put two verses out. It was fun. It was so funny. So funny. Hey, dude, where's your sunglasses? Hi, sis. She's good. Jesus, yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Right, right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Thank you.
You're great. Love you, sis. You have a great trip. Right. You want to put those back in the freezer? They don't really matter. Hey, Gilmore. How are you? Yeah, I did. I'm working, man. Sweetie, I told you, baby. I told you. Yeah, it's you needed to settle today, and you did. It looks like you did. So it's all right. It doesn't matter. Hey, Terry's boat broke too, and it's okay.
You know, when you said ignore those last few words.
Yeah.
for today. That's what I meant. Just put it. Just go put it in the back. Nobody's gonna eat that anyway. How are you, man? Yeah. It's pretty muggy in here. You know. I mean, you try to run around this room 10 times. No. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Lot going on. We had a huge shower last week for Jamie. Yeah, it wasn't huge, but it was huge to do it. There was 40 or 50 people there. Small, it was the people that grew up with her. She had it three weeks ago. It's a little boy. Healthy. It was in ICU for a week. Well, I don't think so. Her life is, her album, she's just got a different life. And where she's headed, you know, it's just private, you know. And she doesn't want me to say anything publicly. And she has a boy, cute little boy named James Russell III. James Russell Savory III. And they're going to call him Trey for the third. He's a doll. He's got a whole head of hair. He looks like a little man. And so her album comes out on the 30th, so it's a pretty big deal for her, you know, to get that done. I mean, obviously, if you do the math, that's why she got married. And that's embarrassing to her because I'm her dad and, you know, all that stuff. But she let us give her a shower. We're ladies that grew up with us. So, you know, yeah, love covers a multitude of sins. And, you know, it's not cool, but it's reality, you know. And 9 out of 10 people I marry have already had sex anyway. So, you know, it's a sad commentary on our culture, you know. And, you know, everybody laughs when I talk about smoking pot, you know. Because a third of them do. I mean, it's just, I understand reality. And, I want to be an example. But she doesn't want the Jamie D side of her life. If I speak publicly, it can get out. I can say anything to my friends if I'm with them, but I have to be respectful of that, and I want to be, you know. So, I love you. I know, it's too much. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Good. I went to the doctor. I've got a doctor that is a Dr. Holtorf. I don't know if you know him. But he's a, you know, my thyroid has been a problem for 20 years. And he's one of those guys that, you know, like checks your blood chemistry intensely. And I've been with him for 10 years.
My brother
takes a little testosterone. Thyroid stuff is all I take from him. But I like the fact that somebody's looking at my blood very seriously every year. And, I mean, little things. You know, my cholesterol is 143, and I'm up real hard, 143. I'm pretty healthy in what I do, what I eat. I mean, and I want to go to the next level this year. I think I'm going to start biking. I had a big story about that. I'm going to get a bike and latch in. And everybody I know that is thin and in shape, they kind of bike. And I don't really want to. I don't really want to, but you know what? I can. Yeah, because you can't run anymore. It's just stupid. I don't want to anyway. I don't want to bike, but I've got so many friends that would go. And part of friendship is like one of the things we wrestled with. We would really be good friends if we had something we did together and did it regularly. But we don't have that. And I found that with people. Tom Kaczmak is my buddy, man. He loves me. He doesn't have any friends because of who he is and where he's at in life. He doesn't have any friends. I'm one of his key friends in life, and we get together 3 or 4 times a year. You got to have a hobby. Kaczmak, that is sincere every week. He's back in Cleveland. He's a wealthy man. He's enormously wealthy. And he's just done well in his young life. And he does. He would with you, because you're an ex-doctor, and you know who you need. But, you know, when you have stuff, you've got to guard against some people wanting what you got. You know, I'm not telling you anything. And, you know, it's touchy stuff if you have, you know, if you have stuff. You know, people get jealous. And yeah, he doesn't see a lot of people. He's got a great life. He's raising his 3 little girls. He's too old to have them. And he's got a great marriage. And how are you, buddy? Do you know Doc here? Rick? Jack. This guy's a great guy. He's an old friend of mine. So, yeah. He comes a lot. Work to do. Yeah, Jack needs a lot of help, man. How are you, buddy?
Good.
I'm doing great. Yeah.
It's a good day.
Yeah, got it. If I get in trouble, it's a big deal. Really? Okay, all right. It's a good fish day. Hey, Noah, great job, buddy. Are you leaving now? Are you guys leaving? Okay, I'll get in there. This is Noah. Noah, shake Jack's hand. It's a big hand, man. It's a big hand, buddy. You know, Jack was in a Superman movie a long time ago. Yeah, if you've ever seen it. I don't know if you've seen it, but he was a big, he was a bad guy. He's a good guy, but he was a... He's not old enough, I don't think. Hey, Comic-Con, I didn't think I'd see you this week. You didn't want to work? Is it moving ahead? The world you're in is like a war. It's like a war. Is this all the Obama stuff and the NSA stuff and all that? And people have no idea, huh? Right. It's so exciting. So you're working every day? Are you going down? Are you writing it here? Are you going downtown? Or
almost feels like
really
go fast. I tend to do that with a lot of things.
Really? Huh. Cool. Well, I look forward to reading it. So you're just on your computer all day, or do you write? Exciting. I look forward to meeting your friend if he comes. If he's got the courage to come to church. It takes courage. Dad, I love that term. All right, buddy. Make sense? Did it make sense to you today, boys? You're the two guys I love, man. Don't push him out. Don't push him out. I know. He teaches. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I know how much you love Jesus. I know. Oh, yeah, it's funny, about a third of them laughed. Did you get that? So are you working now? Is everything happening?
Yeah. No, that's
why. We'll wait till October. I'm not naming it. San Francisco? Is there a big job up there or something huge? And you send Albert up there to live for a month or two?